today on Living on Every Word.
Your tongue has the power to wield such influence that it will impact the people that you speak to and the people you talk about. The tongue is powerful. Our tongues, our words, what we say is powerful. It gives life or it destroys life.
Do you ever say words that you wish you'd never said? Words that diminish others, discourage others, words that wound hearts and even destroy relationships? In today's message, Pastor Mike Fritcher shows us how we can be free from negative words in part two of our study, The Power of the Tongue.
Living on every word.
We are in James chapter 3. We're going to finish up our series on the power of the tongue. The power of your tongue. And we've just been talking about how what you say can impact people's lives. And so I want to continue that study as we look at verses 5 and following. But I want us to look at the first few verses again. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Now we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Small part of the body, yet does great things. And when we looked at this last week, we talked about the power of a bridle tongue that will direct your life. This morning, I want us to look at the power of bridle tongue that will impact the lives of others. What you say impacts your neighbor. And it sometimes will direct their lives. I mean, that's why he says, listen, not many of you become teachers. You're going to incur a stricter judgment. Why is that? Because people listen to what you say as a teacher. They look at you, and as a teacher, whether it's in church or whether it's school, there is an authority behind that role, behind that call, behind that giftedness. And you're going to incur a stricter judgment because what you say influences other folks. I think that's the key in this first verse. You know, if you're a teacher, you give information, you counsel, you inspire, you discipline, you influence. What you say affects people. The tongue is powerful. It is powerful to do a few things in a very positive way. Now, we looked at this verse last week. Just look at it again in passing. First of all, the tongue is powerful to turn away wrath. To turn away wrath. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That's just so important. I can't tell you how many times that in the course of my life where I've chosen to hold my tongue and give a gentle answer and how all of a sudden the whole situation is diffused. I mean, just all of a sudden, you've humbled yourself, you're not moving in a tit for tat. You've taken the anger that might be just boiling up in your life. It might just be boiling up in you. You might be mad. You might be agitated. You might be anger. But I'm going to tell you, if you will hold your tongue, which a lot of us have a hard time doing, is that right? I hear there's a stone graveyard somewhere in England with a stone that reads something like this. Here lies a lump of clay. Her name is Arabelle Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue, okay? Don't wait till you're dead to hold your tongue, okay? All right? Don't wait till you're dead to hold your tongue and let that be said of you. Because it's very, very important to know that, listen, if you'll hold it and you don't speak the harsh word and you bring out a gentle answer, what happens is the anger is no longer stirred up. It subsides. As a matter of fact, and many times it just goes away and all of a sudden you're talking to that person that you're having conflict with. It diffuses the situation. Can you imagine? When you think about the power just to speak a gentle answer and to turn the circumstances completely around because of the things that are coming out of your life in a gentle way. The tongue is powerful to turn away wrath. It's powerful to bring encouragement to those you speak to. It brings encouragement to those you speak to. I mean, that is the power. I mean, there are people in your life that are down. They're hurting. They're struggling. And you, the Scripture says, you have this power. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. When you think about bringing joy and a delight to somebody by what you say. Proverbs 25:11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstance. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. You have the power to encourage folks. Oftentimes, though, in the midst of our flesh, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the struggle, our hearts can be so out of tune with God that instead of giving gentle answers, we give harsh. And instead of bringing encouragement, we bring discouragement. And we're going to see in just a moment, this is more about the nature of your heart than it is about your tongue. Okay, and we're going to see that in just a moment. Encouraging words or discouraging words. A third thing that we can do with our tongue, the tongue has the power to refresh the soul. Look at Proverbs 25:13 on the screen. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Now, I want to look at a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So keep your place in James, if you would, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's a passage of Scripture that Paul speaks of, just the kind of the state and the heart that he was walking in this time of his life. And he was struggling with some things. He was struggling with weariness. The Scripture says that there were fears within his heart. There was sort of a depression that came over him. And notice verse 5, what it says. It says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. But God who comforts the depressed, God who comforts the downtrodden, those that are in harsh circumstances, but God who comforts the depressed, comfort us," here it is, "by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, not only by his presence, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, and your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." Not only was Titus, who came to me, brought great encouragement, but his words of encouragement, his words of the heart that you spoke to him, he was the messenger of your words. And not only was I rejoicing that he came, but I rejoiced all the more because I knew that you, Corinthians, cared for me. Refreshing the soul. You have the power to bring refreshment to the souls of people. You know, you've heard me say it this way in times past. You're either a blessing or you're a burden to the people around you. Blessing or burden. And it's by what you say. It's by what comes out of your mouth. Whether you are blessing people or you are burdening people. I mean, Paul says, I had these afflictions without. He was burdened by people. There were people trying to kill him. There were people slandering him. There were people who were after his skin. And yet here comes Titus, this fellow worker. This fellow worker in the field who comes and brings this great encouragement and this great word from the Corinthians. And I tell you, it's just like this proverb in 25:13, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, because he refreshes the soul of his masters. I want to ask the question today, the things that come out of your mouth, do they refresh people? Or is it just bad breath? Think about it. Do you refresh, or is it just something that comes out of your mouth and out of your heart that's just, it just doesn't bring any refreshment? I mean, it just, whew, it's like bad breath. Listen, your tongue has the power to refresh the soul. Fourth, your tongue has the power to disciple and sustain weary people. Isaiah 54, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. You think about all these points here from the Proverbs. The whole thought of bringing refreshment, the whole thought of sustaining weary people. I mean, you have the power to do that. Now, you know, some of you are eternal optimists, and it's very easy for you to bring encouragement and to bring refreshment. Others of you are not so optimistic. I mean, it takes time for you to have to think about what you're supposed to say, okay? But I want to tell you just how much the power of a spoken word can do in person's lives. Years ago, there was a couple in our church, and they were childless, and they were growing old, and she had a sister who had three daughters, and she was very, very close to these three daughters. And in the course of time, I mean, those daughters married, and the oldest one was especially close to this woman and to her husband. And I got word that she was killed. And so I had to go over and talk to this couple who this niece was the apple of their eye. And folks, they don't have anybody in their family except these kids and her sister. And so I, you know, it was early, not so early in my ministry, but it's still one of those times, you know, we were still small and I didn't have to do much of this. And I still don't have to do much of it, but it's always hard to say, okay, what am I going to say to these folks? And so I drive up, I knock on the door, and they come out to the porch, and I have to tell them she's dead. And I'm going to tell you the panic and the fear and the worry and the angst started to wash over this couple. And I don't know what made me do this, but I said to them both, I said, I want you to look at me in the eyes. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be okay. And I want to tell you that it was in that moment that went with all that angst and all that grief and all of that moment, all of a sudden this peace started to wash over them and this calm came over them. And they walked, and I spent the next hour, the next part of the day with them, and the peace of God came over their lives. And guess what they were able to do? They were able to minister to the grieving mama. The life of God. You know, the first time I ever learned this, I said earlier, I don't know what made me say it, because I had never gone to the door to tell somebody that somebody close to him has died. But when I was 5 years old, Hurricane Betsy came through New Orleans, and we evacuated, and when we came back to the house was damaged. Carport had fallen in, you know, just trees everywhere. And to a five-year-old, it looked horrible. And when we drove up, I started in my emotional rant, not a bad rant, but just emotional, and I just started crying, you know, started, you know, just as a five-year-old. And my mom looked at me and said, Mikey, it's all going to be okay. It's all right. I mean, it's okay. We're going to spend the night here, and it's going to be fine. And within 10 minutes, I am playing on the rubble, you know, happy as happy can be. And I look back over that and I think, we as parents, especially with our little ones, have great power to direct their emotions, to direct their heart as children and even those who are in crisis. Now, because you're their friend and because you're a part of their lives, you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a teacher to wield that kind of influence. It says you've just got to be ready. You've got to be ready, as the Scripture says, the Lord has given me a tongue, the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He's given me this tongue. He's given me this heart. He's given me this ability. And every one of you have the ability to bring peace, to bring calm to any situation. by the words that you speak and the attitude you portray in that. You have this kind of power. You have the power to disciple and sustain weary people. Your tongue has the power to bless others with good, kind, and gracious words that helps them in gaining, especially younger folks, especially in gaining a healthy view of God and a healthy view of their life instead of the poor, pitiful self-images that kids grow up in. You have the power to do that. You have the power to do it by speaking it to them and also speaking well of them. I hate to use so many illustrations of my childhood, but I have one more. I was in 7th and 8th grade, or 8th grade, I don't remember. I think I was in 8th grade. And we were in youth choir, and we went to Houston, down somewhere near NASA, to sing for this church in our youth choir. And we were staying at a camp, and we were spending the night, of course, in this dorm. And the guys were in a couple of dorm rooms, and the gals were in a couple of dorm rooms. And as often as, I don't know if you've ever been a counselor on a youth trip, but when the lights are out, kids continue to talk, right? Sometimes it gets a little rambunctious, sometimes they're just talking. And we were just talking. And we talked for 10, 15 minutes in the dark, 20 minutes, and I started to doze. And somebody asked me a question. And kind of in that half moment of sleep and dozing and being awake and not being quite asleep, I heard what they said, but I did not answer. And there was silence. And they began to talk about me. They began to talk about me. First time and only time I ever heard somebody talk about me behind my back. And they said nice things. They said nice things about me. Okay. Now, I can tell you that even today, I think back over that night. And I went to sleep pretty quick, but it had a powerful impact upon my life. Your tongue has the power to wield such influence that it will impact the people that you speak to and the people you talk about. It was a blessing. And those kids, they don't know that to this day. But there was something that they spoke that touched my heart and touched my life in such a profound way. And I praise God for that. And that's why it's so important that we choose our words carefully. That's why it's so important that we hold our tongue. Because there's such a power in it to impact people in such a positive and good way. To bless others with good and kind and gracious words. I look at these passages of scriptures and the points that we've just looked at. When you look at this bridle tongue that turns away wrath, that encourages those you speak to, that brings refreshment, that disciples and sustains weary people, that blesses others with good and gracious words. All I'm doing, folks, is imitating my great God when I do these things. And you have the power to do that. The problem is, according to James, and if you go back to James, the problem with all of this that we've been talking about is that the Bible says that the tongue can boast of great things, but it's a fire. And he calls it the very world of iniquity. And that's the problem that we have. That we have a tongue that the Scripture says, and I'll read it in verse 5, the middle of 5, "See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets the course of our life. It is set on fire by hell." And then he says, not only is the tongue a fire, but it can't be tamed. He says, "For every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we'll bless our Lord and Father. We'll say, praise God, in one moment, and then the next moment, we'll curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth will come blessing and cursing. And my brethren, these things ought not be. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." problem with everything that I was saying just a moment ago is that the tongue is a fire and it cannot be tamed. That whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. You can't bridle the tongue, and you can hold the tongue, but only as far as your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing you. Therefore, if you're not walking the right walk, if you're not speaking and you're not walking with God and speaking what you need to with God, then I'm going to tell you this, your tongue will not be bridled. It'll be a burning tongue that destroys life. And that's what he uses the metaphor as. He says, listen, this tongue is a fire, and a fire consumes. It's consumed your own life by the way you've talked about yourself, but it'll also consume others. I mean, this tongue is a very world of iniquity. Although it has great power to direct and impact life, it's still a flame. And so what I want to look at for just the next few minutes is, how does the tongue destroy? We've looked at how the tongue impacts life. How does the tongue destroy? How does it harm? How does your tongue cause people to fall, even? How does it do that? Well, there's a couple of things. I think, first of all, I think of words of unbelief destroy people. You can't do that. There's no way that'll happen. There's no way. What are you thinking? I mean, come on. You can't be forgiven of your sin. You're going to be living with this the rest of your life. This tongue can destroy by words of unbelief. Words of unbelief, words of pride, words of rejection, things like, I hate you, you were a mistake, you were an accident. Words that hurt, that harm. There are also words of slander, which is a particularly destructive sin. You know, Noah Webster defines slander as a false tale or report maliciously uttered intending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens, by exposing him to punishment or impairing his means of living. Slander strikes at people's dignity. It defames their character. It destroys their reputation, which is their greatest asset sometimes. Slander. We talked a little bit about that last week. Negative statements. You're fat. You're an alcoholic. You'll always be lazy. You're stupid. You never get it right. He never listens to me. Negative reports. And I ask the question of you, I mean, are you a negative person? Because if you're a negative person, negative things are going to come out of your life, and you're always going to be the critic. And the words that you speak, they're going to harm. They're going to destroy. They're going to hurt. And that's why James says, it ought not be. These statements ought not be. With one way, we bless God and worship Him, and on another side, we'll curse man who's been made in the likeness of God. Again, the problem is, you can't tame the tongue that's a fire. You got to get your nature changed. Bottom line, your nature has to change, and that's what God promises. I want to close with Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. I think one of the most instructive passages of Scriptures about really the taming of the tongue, even though you can't tame the tongue. It is a passage of Scripture that speaks of the things that we're not to speak, the things that are not to come out of our mouths. And so, in closing, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Because since the tongue is a fire and it can't be tamed, what do? We see our nature change. And that's what he says here. He says in chapter 4, verse 17, "So I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you didn't learn Christ in this way, if indeed you've heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to the former manner of life, you lay aside the old self which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. First off, you've got to lay aside the old self, the old way of life. You walk no longer as the world walks. So you lay aside the old self, and the Scripture says you put on the new self, which has been made in the likeness of God in Christ. In other words, what he's saying is this is a heart change. You put on the new self, you renew your mind, having laid off the old ways. It is a repentant lifestyle. It's where I repent of the walk that I've been walking. Because if you've been walking like the Gentiles walk, you've been saying all kinds of nasty stuff. Bottom line. If you're walking like them, you're talking like them. And it's very, very important, folks. Very, very important to know that this is about a heart change. And then therefore, when you have this heart change, then in verse 25, you lay aside the falsehood and you speak the truth, each one with his neighbor. That's what comes out of your mouth. The truth. Anger doesn't come out. You might be angry, but you don't sin. And you don't let the sun go down on your anger. And you don't give the devil an opportunity. Verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it'll give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And you let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and here it is, slander, be put away from you, along with all malice. And you're kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. You are to be imitators of God as beloved children. You're to walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice and a fragrant aroma. And don't let any immorality or impurity be named among you. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting. Instead, with your tongue, you're to give thanks, because you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. I love what he comes down to say. Instead, give thanks. Let your nature be changed, so that you may lay aside the lying, that you may be able to give great words of life to folks, so that you might take away unwholesome and rotten words, and then that you might take your life and no longer coarse jest, silly talk, but rather you give thanks. Listen, the tongue is a powerful part of your body. It's a powerful part of your life. It is the tattletale of your life. It tells you who you are. Therefore, we must ask God and believe God for the change of heart that will speak life to people, that will impact the people we come in contact with. Bow with me in prayer, if you would. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would come and bring this word to our hearts so that we might make the appropriate changes we need to make. Father God, the tongue is powerful. Our tongues, our words, what we say is powerful. It gives life or it destroys life. It directs our lives. It impacts lives or it destroys. I pray that you'd bring conviction, Father, where we've not held the tongue and where we've spoken evil. And I ask, Father, that you'd come and empower us to speak that which is right. Father, I believe that there is victory in Christ Jesus. I pray that we would be people of the Word who speak the Word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.